It's always interesting and challenging when we get together and we talk and we ask the Lord what would be the subject for these sessions that we have at Eastern Bible Conference. And we had a conference call, and all joined in here. We would have suggestions, and we were not really getting confirmation about what we wanted to really look at. And then we had one conference call, and we were praying, and it just sort of came together. And one of the things we want to do is just start as an introduction is to talk about the fact that Christianity today, and you can think about this as I make this statement, is in really, there's a very real identity crisis in the Christian community. Now, when I talk about the Christian community, I'm not just speaking about our fellowship and our tradition. I'm talking about, in general, Christendom, you know, the profession to the name of Christ is under a severe identity crisis. There are many tangents that Christians have gone off in. And in fact, there are those who profess Christianity and yet support and endorse things that are completely contrary to the scriptures. And so as we were thinking about this and being the fact that we are all exposed to this reality, we're all exposed to a world that's on a persistent moral decline, we thought it would be good, with the help of the Spirit of God, to look at the book of 1 Peter and to look at the way the Spirit of God, through the Apostle Peter, gives us and identifies who we are. And then what we want to look at, as we look at those identities, we want to also look at what is the corresponding behavior. Now, there's a lot of them in 1 Peter, and so we only have 5 days, and so we only picked out 5 of them. There's more in the book of 1 Peter. The 5 that we're going to look at this week is that we have been born again. We've been born, begotten of God. We want to look at that and what that entails and what it is that God has wrought in making us his own and what are the consequences of that. Then we want to look at the fact that the true Christian identity is that of a pilgrim. I don't see people writing this down. It's not good. So the first one is that we're born again. The second one is that we're pilgrims. The third one we're going to look at is that we're strangers. And all of this will come out a little clearer as the week progresses. The fourth one is that we're going to look at this week is that we are a spiritual house. And then the last one we're going to look at is a chosen generation. Now, all of these come with additional items as we look at the text and we look at the passages. But we wanted to look at these 5 identities that Peter identifies and calls out and says this is what marks these Christians that he was writing to. And as we look at these identities, that we would see that there's a corresponding behavior associated with that identity. So what we really wanted to promote is behavior and conduct that are derives from our identity in Christ. We titled it Living as I Truly Am. Who am I if I am a believer in the Lord Jesus? This is very important. So to start, I have the task of looking at the first one, and it's a very big topic, and we have the shortest session. Figure. It's the biggest topic and yet the very groundwork of what we're going to do. So I'm going to ask someone to read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and then verses 18 to 25. Verses 1 through 5 of 1 Peter 1 and 18 to 25.
First Peter 1, 1 to 5. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, and the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Christ, Jesus Christ, and for sprinkling with his blood. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable and undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And then 18 to 25?
Yep. 1 Peter chapter 1, for those who just came in.
So 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 18. Knowing that you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you.
So the first subject that we want to look at is this matter of being begotten of God or born again. And part of coming alongside with that is this idea and this doctrine and the truth of being redeemed. These are the two things that Peter sets before them in chapter 1. Before we get there, I just want to take a little brief detour and just talk a little bit about the first couple of verses in the chapter. We didn't plan to cover it, but I thought it would be helpful to really gain an appreciation of the work that God has done in order that, and his perspective with regards to what it means to save you and I. And I think when we get that in our hearts and our minds and we realize that God has done something, God is at work. He has been the prime mover. And to realize that he has shown his mercy towards us, his grace towards us, that we would be born again, that we might be partakers of this inheritance, that we might be redeemed, that we might have all of these wonderful blessings that Peter breaks forth in saying, blessed be the God and Father. And that's the first in verse 2. In verse 2, there are three things that happened. Three things that bring before us the work of divine persons. And I think it's very important for us to really appreciate how God, in all of his majesty, in his expression of himself as the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, are very much engaged in providing the means by which you and I can come into favor with them. And the first thing we find is election. And we're not going to go into the subject of election as wonderful of a subject it is, but it is the thought that God the Father had in his heart to set out a people for himself. He is elected. He's called out a people for himself. And so to think that God, who very well could have said, you know what, when you and I in Adam rebelled, he could have washed his hands of the whole scene. But before all of that, he had in mind that he would have a company of people special, marked out, unique for himself. It says these are his elect. And so the Father was involved. And then you have the Holy Spirit who makes it happen. Hear what God the Father intends and purposes long before the foundation of the world. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that he sets apart a company. It's by the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God takes you and I, and he does a work in our life. And as we talk about this matter of being born again, we're going to appreciate the work of the Spirit of God who makes that happen as we look at some other passages.